Welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world. And I am happy and glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family, focusing on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. So first we want to acknowledge God's word of the scripture in prayer. And our scripture reading is Psalm 78, 1 through 8. And it says, "My people, hear my teaching. Listen to my words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from our descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law of Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn will tell their children, and they will put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty words." Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we enter your presence with hearts of thanksgiving for who you are and all you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for life, love, fellowship, and friendship. Thank you for your Blog Talk Radio and the avenue of Bring Back the Family. God, we pray that you will use us in this venue to help us learn how we really can bring back the family. That is, in the manner that you mean for families to operate. Lord God, please bring back the family and provide a way to help your children to do what it is you have for them to do, because they are your children. Lord, please help the parents to give them what is needed to make it in this world. And Lord, we know that the thing we need the most is more of you. Father God, you have ordained that Bring Back the Family concentrates on youth. If your word says that when children are brought up knowing your ways, when they are older, they will not depart from you, then the opposite is surely true. So we start this discussion sober-minded that if young people are not raised knowing you, not rooted in you, and not guided in your righteousness, we will be victims later on for not helping. And so we ask your blessings this afternoon on all who will speak, and to them that are listening, let your glory come forth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen? Okay, so Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to society and others all around the world. You know, our youth just need a do-over, and they need our help to get that do-over. They need our help. They need us to help them. We have had some phenomenal guests on this month and last month, and actually basically since starting Bring Back the Family in June of last year. And it is my hope and prayer that what our guests have shared throughout this year and last year, that we are taking advantage of the information and the resources and putting them to action. And as you have witnessed here, that it's a lot of good going on. And we do have positive, hardworking, caring, loving professionals and students in college soon to be professionals, which makes, you know, it just makes my heart glad. And I hope it makes your heart glad as well. You know, it's a lot of a negative going on in the world, and that's all that we hear. But we are not going to focus on that negative in which we hear on the media, you know, on the regular. we are doing a new thing. This is going to be a new thing. And I would, you know, just like to hope more positive, productive things going on than reported. And so this is what Bring Back the Family will showcase in order to change our thinking and mindset. Positive things is going on. If all we focus on is the negative and just tragic stuff, then we will never know about all the great things that are happening. And so with that, you know, we have a plan. We have a plan for our youth, and we have to have a plan. You know, we're just going to showcase what's good, the how-tos, and continue to give, you know, good, pertinent information. We're going to start some programs just to help our youth to keep busy, because that's what we have been hearing from our guests, our young people, our young high schoolers, our college students. They say we have to keep them busy. Get involved, lots of activities. And so we do have a plan. So block by block, do something productive and creative for the youth on your block, okay? This will let them know that we are watching them and that we care about their future, okay? So get busy in your block. If we just, you know, all just chip in and do something, it's like saving our kids, you know. Everybody get busy doing something. Just take out some time and let these young people know that we care about them and we care about their future. And, you know, we plan to use every guest that has participated and discussed their gifts and talents, you know, with us on the show. We're going to use everybody. And just don't that sound like something that can really be powerful? And I just can't wait, you know, to start our program. And we're going to be announcing our first outing and our first big event that hopefully coming up in May. That's, you know, in my thinking as far as when we're going to have it, but we're going to be announcing it soon. So stand by, okay? You know, God truly made women special. And, you know, women, they are the primary caretakers of children and elders in every part of the world. When the economy and society change, women take the lead in helping the family adjust to new realities and challenges. Recognizing the achievements of women in all facets of life, science, community, government, literature, art, sports, medicine, has a huge impact on the development of self-respect and new opportunities for girls and young women, okay? That's women. Women are everywhere, doing everything for everyone. We're going places, okay? All right. Women's History Month is dedicated to the celebration of everyday women, as well as pillars and pioneers whose accomplishments have allowed for following generations to feel empowered to constantly break barriers. Joining us today, a phenomenal mother and daughter team that have a gift and a love for fashion, Caitlin Brooks, designer and marketer, and Sharice Conley, certified etiquette coach. Wow, what a match. What a match. Join us as they discuss their journey while encouraging others to follow their dreams and use their gifts and talents. A woman's work is never done, okay? Never done. All right. So first we have Caitlin Brooks. And Caitlin Brooks is a fashion designer and marketer and a Kent State University graduate. Welcome, Caitlin Brooks, to Bring Back the Family.
Hi. Hi, can you guys hear
me?
How
are you? Hear you very
good.
Well.
How are you?
Thank you for being with us. Good. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah. No problem.
So, hey, everybody. This is Caitlin. I remember when Caitlin was a little girl, when she was born. And all of that. Now she's grown up, fabulous, beautiful, just beautiful inside and out person, and she's doing great things. And so, hey, fashion designer and marketer. And with the Kent State University, yes. As a graduate. So tell us about that. Tell us about your journey.
Let's see. So when I graduated from Cass Technical High School in 2017, my family and I were, like, searching for a good college that fit my interests and also that was affordable. I was a straight-A student in high school, so it was easy for me to gain access to a lot of scholarships. And I also didn't want to be inside the state, so the best possible solution was to just go to Ohio. It's about 3 hours away, so it's not too far from home, but it was far enough, I would say. So I applied there, and I didn't even know anything about Kent State. I didn't even know Kent was a city in Ohio. I'm recognizable from Cleveland and Cincinnati and stuff like that. So when I heard of Kent, I was like, oh, what's this small town? And they were actually number 3 in the country for fashion design. So I was like, oh, this will be a perfect opportunity for me to go and be close to home. And they gave me a scholarship, so I didn't really have to pay too much out of pocket. And from then, it was just pretty much, as we youngsters like to say, up from there. Everything kind of just fell into place. My freshman year was, like, my introduction to college life. It is a PWI, which is a predominantly white institution, so it was very growing up in Detroit, you know, it's a lot of urban, a lot of culture, African-American, but going to a PWI really opened my eyes. And I, like, going to Cass Tech, obviously, that's a predominantly black school. So being in a class with all predominantly white kids and being, like, the only black kid setting was very, like, it wasn't intimidating, but it was very shocking, culture shocking, just because I didn't know how it was. But it was, I loved it just because, like, I was, like, the top in one of my classes. So it was good to see, like, a young black woman excelling in all, pretty much like an all-white class. So people would come to me for help, and I felt, like, on top of the world. But then as far as fashion goes, I stayed up from the crack of dawn to the crack of dawn the next day working on portfolios and outfits and designs. There was plenty of nights where, and days where I called my mom crying, like trying to give up. But obviously my mom wouldn't allow that. She pushed me, and I'm very appreciative of her for all the words of encouragement she gave me throughout my 4 years, because college is definitely a tough thing. It's not something to play around with, especially because it's a lot of money going into it. But you can definitely do it. I would definitely tell my young educators that wants to pursue something beyond high school education that is definitely doable. And it's not just college. It's with cosmetology school or vocational school. It definitely takes hard work and dedication to get to where you want to be in life, but the hard work and dedication definitely pays off, because I'm done and I did it, so, yeah.
Wow. Looks like you did it effortlessly. You was an RA student, and that really helped. And then, like you said, you didn't have to pay out of pocket. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't have to pay a lot out of pocket. So it was definitely... It was definitely great. I would definitely, like, I would say that grades are definitely important in high school, just because that opens the gateway to a lot more opportunities than you would think. So I got into, like, Howard, and I got into some other great top schools, like North Carolina, I got into a lot of Michigan schools, a lot of HBCUs like Park Atlanta. I got into that as well. But I definitely don't want to, like when you get to college, I know a lot of parents are very tough on their kids for getting good grades in college, but I just want to be very truthful and say college is definitely hard. I thought I was on a 4.0 and be on top like how I was in high school, but reality definitely slapped me in the face and was like, girl, it's okay if you're not always the perfect one on top. And that's what I had to – that, like, relieves a lot of stress, I would say, just knowing that doing my best is enough. And these do get degrees. So I would say, like, don't stress yourself out for all my young people. Don't stress yourself out about grades when it comes to college, just because stressing about that can just lead to more stress. I would just say do the best you can and just try not to fail the class, because that's when problems occur. But there's always, you can always talk to your counselor. There's a lot of resources out there in college that allows you to get back on track if you are, like, feeling as if you're not excelling as much as you could. You can always retake a class, even though that's a little bit more money. If you just decide that you don't want to see on your transcript, you can always retake the class. And, yeah. But, yeah, I definitely say grades are definitely an important thing in high school, but in college, I wouldn't say they're not important, but it's just something that you don't want to stress about, because college is already stressful enough. So putting grades on top of your stress book is not, like, it's not ideal. I would definitely take that off and just do the best you can, because I definitely was not a straight-A student in college. I was lucky, or I was blessed enough to get a 3.2, I believe, which is, like, the lowest I've ever gotten in life. But to me, it's like a 4.0 just because of how hard all the classes were. And definitely a double major, so that also tagged onto a lot of, like, my stress and, like, a lot of grades and stuff like that. So, yeah, I would just say do your best. Do the best you can, and always retake a class if you feel as if it's going to, like, mess you up in the long run.
Okay. So how did you know you wanted to pursue fashion or design?
So growing up, I always had a sketchbook. If this was like a live TV show, I probably would bring you guys some of my sketches. They were, in my eyes now, terrible. They weren't stick figures, but they definitely had clothes on them. So I definitely was drawing and had all the Crayola crayons and markers you could think of, just doodling in my sketchbook. And then my mom, she ended up buying me this, like, it was like a paper, it's like paper, arts and crafts paper sketchbook type of ordeal, where they gave you like a lot of prints on paper. Like, if you were to do a scrapbook. So they had like a lot of scrapbook paper. So they had like cheetah print and like zebra print. And they had all these templates where you can like trace them out and you can put your own clothes together and your little outfits together. And then you put them on little hangers. So they always came out with, like, a new version of book. So I would always ask my mom after school if we could go to Barnes & Noble's and get that book so I can, like, make more designs. And I used to, like, just copy and paste them into my sketchbook. And that's pretty much how I continued my journey. I then went on to, like, doing shoe designs and stuff and, like, practicing bags and all that type of deal. And then my grandmother, she had a sewing machine, so that's pretty much where I got all my sewing lessons from. I did one class at Joann Fabrics, but then my grandma pretty much taught me the rest of the necessary tools that I need in order to succeed in my degree. I made a tunic with her, and then I made a dress with her. It was a blue sparkly dress, and I wore it to my aunt's 50th birthday party. And everyone loves it. It was like, you made that? And I was like, I don't even remember how old I was. I was definitely like 9 or 10 when I made that dress. So I've been designing for a while. And then I do know that fashion design is a very, like, competitive industry to get into or to stay into because, you know, you have to stay up with the latest trends and things of that nature. So my father, he encouraged me to take on the marketing degree just in case, like, as a backup plan. Even though he does believe in, like, the capability that I have as a fashion designer, he just wanted something a little bit more stable. But I always wanted to do fashion. Like, I literally would tell him, like, okay, Dad, I will do this for you, but I'm still doing fashion. He was like, why don't you just do it as a minor? I'm like, no, I want to do it as a major because that's, like, that was always my dream to become, like, the next greatest fashion designer. And, yeah, it's just been a dream ever since. And I've been, like, working with a new designer now, pretty much helping him with his business, and I got to experience New York Fashion Week. So it all started with a dream and an idea, and I just kept it going with that. I never, like, gave up on it, even though, like, people around me were, like, trying to discourage me from it or deter me away from it. I've always, like, kept it going. I feel like it was God just telling me this is something that you need to do, which is why I just kept it going. Now, college definitely made me, like, double think or think about it twice about what I wanted to do in life just because of the fashion program at my school is, like, it can kind of put you in a creative, like, well, it's creatively you're supposed to think outside the box, and they used to try to put you in a box. So I had to, like, I was getting very discouraged on that, but, like, after I graduated, I stepped back out of that comfort zone and got back to, like, my roots and things of how I wanted to design and not how my college wanted me to design. But, yeah, that's pretty much how I kept going and how I decided I wanted to be a fashion designer. Oh, I also was bullied in middle school about my clothes and things just because, like, we're not the wealthiest family. We can't afford the wealthiest, like, Gucci and stuff like that. Some of the kids in my middle school used to come in dressed like that. So me, like, just wearing the regular clothes, it kind of, like, put me in, like, an insecurity type of ordeal. And I knew that I wanted to design clothes for the people who don't have that type of money to afford those type of luxury brands, but I still wanted them to feel beautiful and look good and stuff like that just at a reasonable price. Yeah.
At what age all of this? I mean, what age did you start all of this, you know, wanting to, you know, help and feeling, you know, feeling that way, you know? What age?
Well,
I mean, you were born to do this.
Well, I definitely started at a young age. Well, I'm not sure. Maybe my mom can tell you how young I was. I just remember I was in, like, elementary school. So what is that, like, maybe 7 or 8? And then in middle school, that's when I started to get a little bit bullied and stuff. So I was, when I was, like, 11 or 12. And then when I got to high school, I pretty much, like, Cash Tech didn't really have, they had a dress code, but they're really much color-coded, so I was allowed to express my fashionable senses through my, like, school uniform. And, yeah, like, it just kind of kept building up from there. Everyone really liked the way I dressed and stuff just because, like I said, I don't really dress like how all these high fashionable people dress. I shop at Fashion Nova, which is not really like an expensive brand to shop with, but I know how to put pieces and looks together to make them look expensive.
So what was hard about school and what you were doing that, you know, that you talked about was hard?
What was hard was the program is designed to So there's these things. It's called contemporary fashion, which is like your everyday fashion. However, like a lot of students there wasn't there to like be on the contemporary pace. They wanted to do like avant-garde, which is like the real wild, crazy fashion that you see, which is like the big exaggerated shoulders, or they may have like uncontemporary pieces on. Like, they may turn literally a trash can into, like, a dress or something. So people wanted to do that, or, like how Gucci designs, so luxury brand clothing. But my program kept you on contemporary, so it kind of puts you into this box of, like, oh, you can only do one thing. Even though some of the professors there was like, oh, you're allowed to do this, but we just want you to focus on this. It was, like, very controlled. And to me, fashion is very free and open. Like, I feel like there's no rules to fashion, and they were trying to put rules onto fashion, which was very, like, frustrating as a designer. As a designer, you want to design what you want to design and not go based off of rules and things of that nature. So that was hard about it. And then, like, our program is, I feel like I'm not trying to bash them at all. Like, I feel like Kent State was very, it definitely put me on a path for success. I just feel like it's some things that should be changed as far as, like, the rules in there goes. Because, like, we didn't, like, everything we got, we had to source ourselves. And as a freshman who didn't have a car at the time, I had to, like, get $40 Ubers just to go to the fabric store just because we don't have one close to us. So we had to spend our own money on that as well as spend money on fabric. And I was telling my professors that maybe the students should have like a $500 stipend to go towards those type of tools and things of that nature, just so we don't – because like I said, as a freshman – if you're coming from a middle class family or a low class family, income family who don't have the money to continue to supply for your resources and stuff like that, and obviously you can get some fabric from the Salvation Army, but it's not fabric. You have to literally deconstruct the whole garment and then use that fabric for your project or whatever. But if you don't have that money to afford to get your fabric, then it's kind of hard to do the program. And that's why I kept like 2-3 jobs just so I can fund the resources that I needed for fashion. And then like some of the things we didn't get taught. So like, I'm just going to be open and honest. Like, I don't know how to design for plus models right now just because I wasn't taught that. And I could definitely design for them, but I won't know the correct tools. Like, I would probably have to like do some self-research myself, which I have been, but that I feel like that should be implemented, because right now we're just designing for skinny, very skinny typical models, and I feel like that's like very what I say, it's just not broad enough. So, and then we didn't just learn how to design for menswear at all. We may have taken like one, it wasn't even a class, it was like a session for the class. So like one classroom session, we designed a menswear collection. But that was it. That was just that one class for a whole semester. It was just that one day, that one class, that one session. And I feel like men should be a point too, because men like clothes. They like to look good. So that should be implemented. And then we didn't learn how to like grade patterns, which is like where you go from one size to the next, which is very important because, like, the model sizes there are a size 6 and I'm a size 8, so it was very hard for me to, like, try to design clothes for myself. And I'm just now getting into that. So it was definitely, like, not what I expected as a fashion school, but then again, it's not dedicated to fashion. So, like, my dream school was to go to Parsons University in New York. However, they're not scholarship-based, so I would literally have to pay everything out of pocket, and I would probably be in $100,000 worth of debt right now if I was to choose to go to that school. Mm-hmm. So because Kent State is like, they focus on different degrees and not just it's not an art-based school, I believe that probably has something to do with it as well. And then, like, for us to be number three, they didn't really treat us as number three just because, like, they gave away our studios to the architecture students because the architecture students needed more space. So they took our studio and moved it to a gym, which is, like, weird because it's like, why are fashion students going to a gym? But that's neither here or there, I guess. I'm done with school. But it was just, it's just sad to see that because I feel like I wanted to like go up there or at least talk to somebody about that just because when I was talking to my professor about the whole stipend thing, they said it had to get approved by the government, which I feel like it's not hard to get approved just because we have, as a student, you look at your, like, tuition because they bill you every semester of your tuition. So there's a lot of fees on there that you don't even know what it's going towards. So, like, there's a legal and service fee for $10 that I've never used before, but apparently it's for, like, when you're in need of legal services. So they put that on there, and it's a whole bunch of, like, miscellaneous fees on there. So I was telling them, like, if they would just add it on to something like that, then I feel like the student or the parent wouldn't even like budge because of how much miscellaneous stuff is on there anyway. So yeah, it's it was a very frustrating. And then some of the professors there they're there for their check. I would just say that, like, they're there to just get the money and leave. Like, they're not really there to help build you as a designer. Some of them it just sounds so bad bashing it. But it's a very good school. I don't want to bash my personal experience. I don't want to bash the school because I know my mom was like, you don't want to ever bash somebody. So I'm not trying to bash them. It's just something that I feel like just needs to be changed. Like, there's just a direction of change that needs to happen so that the students can grow more and be developed more and be more open and free and stuff like that. And then, like, some of the career opportunities were, like, basic, I would say. Like, most of them were towards Kohl's and Target. And Kohl's and Target are great stores and department stores, and they are million-dollar companies. However, if, like, a person like me, I don't want to design for Kohl's. No offense to them, but that's just something that I don't want to design for. I want to do my own thing. So it was just, they don't have the tools, or they didn't have the tools to, like, direct you in how to build your own company or how to source fabric here or do manufacturer things like that, which is why I also wanted to go to – I was thinking about going to get my master's just because I don't know if they would, like, teach me more in my field. I was calling around different ones, and they were just – one of them told me, like, yeah, we definitely give you the opportunity to source your own fabric and work with manufacturers and things of that nature. And that's the type of things that you would want in order to start your own boutique and things of that nature. A lot of these clothing brands now are taking manufacturers and then just slapping a logo on it. So, and that, to me, that's not really a designer. It's just you trying to make money, which is fine. No, I can't knock anybody's hustle, but it kind of just irritates me as a designer because, like, you didn't personally design that. You just put your logo on it. So, yeah, it's just something that needs to be changed in their fashion program. Now, I don't know about any other fashion program just because I didn't have the chance to experience that, but I can't say it was it's just stuff that I feel like needs to be implemented more in order to, for it to be a more successful program and for it to be better. Yeah.
Wow. So do you think you should have gone to a New York school first, or could you have used your scholarship for a New York school, or do you think there would be more high fashion as far as your taste?
Yeah, I definitely wish that I could have went to, like, Otis, which is in
Los Angeles or Parsons or SCAD, which is in Atlanta, those type of programs, just because they are dedicated to fashion more. However, I also think that Kent State was a blessing just because I was able to do another degree, which is marketing. So if I was to go to Parsons, I probably wouldn't be able to get my marketing degree. It will probably be in fashion marketing, but I wanted it to be all-around marketing just so it won't just be labeled as a fashion marketing degree and I can get into other different companies and things of that nature. So it was definitely a blessing and a curse. But Parsons and Otis and SCAD, those are just very expensive, especially since they're not academic scholarships. So all the scholarships that I got were academic-based just because of my grades, but all the scholarships there, I believe you just had to submit a portfolio, but it wasn't a very great scholarship either because it didn't cover a lot of things, so I would still probably be coming out of pocket a lot. And, yeah, we as a family could not afford another huge bill, so it was just best to just go to Kent State, which was, yeah, the best option financially. Now, I would definitely encourage kids now to, if they can, start saving for college, just in case, like, if you were like me and you weren't able to afford to go to colleges, that was like $100,000 a year. That's like a whole houses. Four houses you could get with $400,000 of pool. So I would say if that's like your dream to go to Parsons or go to a art-based school with no academic scholarships, and to just save. Because
It was more of a basic school, like you said, Kent State. Mm-hmm. But how does marketing and fashion go together? How are you using that together? What is it? Talk to us about the marketing part.
Sure. So with fashion, marketing plays a lot just because you have to know how to sell your clothing and how to basically market yourself. So you want to do a lot of social media marketing, right, especially in this day and age since social media is pretty much taking over the world. You want to use that to your advantage when it comes to selling something or just putting your name out there. I'm still into my learning stages, so I'm still, like, developing my brand and things of that nature. So I haven't been doing a lot of social media marketing, but other companies have asked me to do their own social media marketing, so that's pretty much just, like, doing ads and, like, flyers and things of that nature just to get your product out there and circulating. So marketing basically gives me the business idea of, like, how to run the business and how I was able to get these to different target markets and different target audiences in order to make my fashion take off to the next level. It was definitely a great. I would definitely thank my dad for telling me to basically force me to do another degree, because without the marketing degree, I wouldn't like be able to run my own freelancing fashion design business as I am now. And I'm able to help like the designer I'm working with now with his marketing things, like just giving him ideas and saying, hey, like you should do this, or I think this will bring in more revenue and things of that nature. So, yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like being your own CEO, like just having that business degree or that marketing degree. It just, I don't know, it gives you a boost of confidence because it's like you're knowing how to run a business, things of that nature, and that's something that you want to do because you want to be your own boss. You want to make your own money. You don't want to. I know, like this day and age, we hate jobs. So, like kids are like quitting their jobs left and right. So, I know like I think that's because we just want to be our own boss and things of that nature. And it's not hard. You just have to have leadership skills and hard work and dedication, and you could be anybody's boss, honestly. I've been in free manager positions, so that, too, allowed, was good for my marketing degree because it showed, I'm able to manage a group of people and work well with others and things of that nature in order to make the business grow and have a successful and let it run successfully, have a great atmosphere, working atmosphere. Yeah, definitely.
Wow. You know, we are big consumers of fashion, so when you get something out there that's really different, well, you know you're going to have support.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, my goodness, that is a lot. Wow. So are you still, because it seems like you're just really was born to do this and you're just like gifted with it. It just was a gift that God gave you. And you're just going to take this all the way.
Yes. My plan, in the next 5 years, I hope to raise enough money to start my own fashion line. Like, right now, I'm still learning the ropes of, I'm working with my designer. I basically just took over his inventory, so I'm, pretty much, doing the customer service things and the factory things, so, sending orders out, answering emails, and designing all in one. So it's giving me a great rundown of, how this can be ran, and I'm given the tools in order to know how to run the do's and don'ts of the business. So, yeah, in the next 5 years, I hope to do my own show at New York Fashion Week and Paris Week or Paris Fashion Week and all the different fashion shows and have my own line. And yeah, and I want to actually start my own fashion camp. That was, I'm pretty sure my mom knows about it. My grandma definitely knows about it. Yeah, just because growing up, there's not a lot of, summertime fashion programs for younger children. And when I was growing up, I always wanted to, learn more or learn the things that I did in college as a young person, as a young individual. So I definitely want to start that as well and put that back in Detroit because I think that there's a lot of fashion growing up fashion designers that don't know where to start or they don't even know what a pattern is. And they're going to Joann's, looking in this pattern book, wanting to design all these clothes, but don't know how to do so. So I definitely want to start that and then incorporate other fashion elements. So hair and nails and makeup and runway production. I feel like children or at least young individuals can know the ins and outs and ropes so that when they get to college, they'll be like, oh, I know how to do this because this happened at this. Or I learned this in this fashion program, in this fashion camp. So, yeah, I just want to be able to – because there was a lot of students in my fashion program. They came to college, and there was my professor's like, okay, who has sewing experience? And there was a lot of kids that didn't. And I was like, it's kind of crazy that you, find up for fashion and you don't know how to sew. But see, you know.
Right.
But I don't know if it's because they just didn't have the resources to do so or because they don't have anybody. Obviously, I was blessed enough to have someone in my family that knew how to sew. So, yeah, I don't know if it's because of that, but I definitely want to give children the chance to have the opportunity to learn and grow and know everything there is to fashion before they get to college so they can be prepared for it.
Oh, that sounds good, a fashion camp. I like that, you want to give back and, and give to the youth because there's a lot of things that they don't know. And I hope back in the day we had ladies on our block that used to show us how to sew. So I don't see that much anymore. So that's good. That's bringing back the family. Right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were highlighted in a magazine. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So I definitely was highlighted. I don't have, like, a huge article on myself. It was just showcasing that I work for a designer. His name is Malik McIntyre. He runs McIntyre, McIntyreOnline.us for purchasing. He's known for his puffer, his chaotic puffer jackets. They're reversible as well. I reached out to him. He's based in Chicago. He currently lives in San Diego right now because he's stationed in the military. But I reached out to him through Twitter because, like I said, social media runs the world, and that's how I discovered him. And I reached out to him, and I was like, hey, if you're looking for an intern, let me know, because I would definitely be interested in designing for you and working with you just because I love your brand aesthetic. And that's another thing I would say to the youth is don't be afraid to put yourself out there, and don't be afraid to seek opportunities, even if that does mean DMing or meaning direct messaging someone on social media through Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok, all that. Don't be afraid to do so, because that's what landed my opportunity right now. He actually told me that he wasn't looking for an intern, but then he later reached back out to me and was like, hey, do you still need an internship? And I was like, of course. So just me, like, reaching out to him, it put the idea in his head, and it made me memorable because he later reached back out to me. And then that sparked everything else. So I was able to, my first assignment for him was to design a top for Choice Brown, which is Tabitha Brown's daughter. Tabitha Brown is like a influencer on social media. She does a lot of TikToks and like motivational speaking. She's a lady with the afro. She's very sweet and kind-hearted, a breath of fresh air. I really love her whole personality. So, yeah, when he told me I was designing for her daughter, I was really excited. And I sent him my resume and my portfolio and my website link, and he was very impressed with my work. And I sent him the designs for the top, and he hired me on the spot right there. He was like, you're hired. Like, I love these designs. So after that, it's pretty much been taking off from there, and all blessings. I was blessed to go to New York Fashion Week, and he's so funny. He was like, so are you going to be the only person from your college going to New York Fashion Week? And I was like, I think so. He was like, see, you're on top already. He's like, you're showing them up and stuff. So it's very fun, I would say. A definitely learning experience for sure as well. So yeah, it's very fun. I really like my job, even though sometimes it's frustrating, but I'm always talking to my mom about it. She knows the ins and outs, but yeah, I definitely say it's a fun experience. Fashion is definitely something that never gets old or boring. Something always new and exciting happening. Whether it's a bad excitement or a good excitement, it's always something happening.
That sounds wonderful. I didn't know that about your grandma, that she sold, but I know that she was a sharp lady. And actually, your whole family are very sharp, good dressers. Yeah, that's what I know about them and your grandma. I didn't know that she sold, so that was a plus. So I see where a lot of that fashion comes from, because the whole family is fashionable, really.
My grandmother is the queen of fashion. She's definitely fashionable. Definitely.
Yes, she
I get my style from her.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, great. We're going to bring your mom in, because, you know, etiquette and charm and etiquette, that's connected with fashion, I'm sure. So I'm going to just introduce Sharice Conley. She is LLC of Miss Shar's Charm, certified etiquette coach, teaching youth ages 5 to 19 proper etiquette skills so they can acquire successful social encounters. She's a juvenile justice courtroom clerk for over 30 years, a member of Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, serving on the new membership committee, event planning committee, and women's Sunday school. She's a mother of two daughters, Caitlin and Maya, and a firm believer that our lives are predestined by God before our existence and happenings aren't just a coincidence. And I believe that also. Hello, Ms. Sheree. Family, welcome to the family.
Hello, Sister Cassie.
Hi, Mom.
Hello, daughter. You did very well.
Thank you.
Yes, she did.
You gave a lot of insight on anyone that wanted to attend college.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she did.
But
she was very thorough.
Coming from a mother's perspective, you know, I was happy that she chose to go to college, and I knew that she would excel because Caitlin is very headstrong and very independent. I never had a problem out of Caitlin with school. When she would come in from school and she had homework, I wouldn't know. I didn't even have to ask her if she had it. She was always on top of it. She was always competitive. You know, if she wasn't the top of the class, it was a meltdown and it was a big issue. So didn't have a problem with her excelling academically, you know, but as a mother, my only concern was her being away from home and how she would do socially. And she has some stories that she can tell the youth about that, that's for sure, you know, especially being in Ohio, you know, with it being kind of a prejudice area at times, you know, she had her her experience with prejudice and being changing from her college dorms and, you know, police contact and, you know, things of that nature. So that was the only thing that worried me when she was away. But she was always fearless, you know, whatever she encountered.
Wow.
You know, she may have had an issue with a little crying spell for a minute, but, you know, I would tell her, you know, brush it off and keep it moving. And she had no problem doing it.
That's right. Mothers do. And then she had that big old family. They better not have got too wild up there.
Oh, for sure. Everybody was ready to jump in the car and drive that way. That's for sure.
Right.
But
right.
She had some life lessons, you know, when it came to, you know, the friends and support from her friends and making friends and then losing friends. You know, she had a lot of life learned experiences.
Yes, I want to say that. To the youth, please do not be afraid to lose friends in the process, because God is removing those people from your life in order to give you new blessings. So there's a lot of friends that I've lost, but I definitely gained some friends in the process. Like going to New York Fashion Week, I gained a lot of friends, made a lot of connections, and just knowing that, because I'm always insecure and I'm not really a social butterfly, but I'm very nice and I'm very friendly and I'm a little bit too friendly at times. But I definitely will say, do not be afraid to lose friends, because there are going to be friends wherever you go, especially if you thought, like, a friend was, like, your bestest friend or, like, pretty much like a sister to you or a brother to you, and you really trust that person, and something happened, like, just know that it's going to be okay. It's just God removing that person from your life to make room for
more friends and more loving people, because now I'm surrounded by people who I know loves me and has the best interest at heart for me, and I don't have to worry about their character or them judging me for my wrongdoings, because everyone is not perfect. Do not think that friends should be perfect. There's going to be times where you guys are going to crash heads and butt heads, but it's up to your friendship and your heart to make sure that friendship still works. But if it's not working, just let it go. And it's okay if you let it go. I had to learn that recently. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just a food for thought.
Wow. Okay, great. You hear that, you hear that? No matter what, you know, you'll make it. And you have to watch, you know, who your friends and who you're around. That's for sure. God will truly give you the sign of who you're supposed to be around and not supposed to be around. So that is great. So, Sharice, tell us about your etiquette and charm. Tell us about that. What does it do? What does etiquette create?
Okay, well, it's a class that I started for the youth ages 5 to 19, like you said. And it's been on hiatus for a minute because of the pandemic, of course. Mm-hmm. But it was it's a class that I teach out of my home mostly. I've done things outside the home in churches and schools and whatnot, but I mainly did it out of the home. I started out of my basement, and you know, just to give you a little family history. You know, I grew up with a two-parent household, what you would call a nucleus family, and I had my mother and my father, and my, you know, three sisters were there, and it was typical, you know, two-parent household. You know, my father went to work, he was the head, you know, our mama made sure the house ran good and everybody was happy. And with that, you know, I also was blessed to have both set of my grandparents, and they were involved in our lives a lot. You know, both of my grandfathers, they were typical grandfathers. They went to work, took care of the family, you know, gave us money, gave us candy, you know, did the grandfather thing. And then my grandmothers, they both also played prominent roles in our lives, but they were totally different from each other. But they did teach us, you know, they both taught us the importance of family and the morals and ladylike ways, but they presented it in a different way of each other. You know, and they lived totally opposite lifestyles. And one would pick me up from school, blowing the horn and waving wild, and she would be in a long green convertible Eldorado, you know. And my other grandmother, she didn't drive at all, and she was the one that had us working in the garden and snapping peas and stuff like that. So, and she was also the one who was the please and thank you grandmother. You know, we had to come to her with please and thank you and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and, you know, we couldn't be saying no, yeah, and what, not in her house, you know. So we had to, with her, it was expected that we wear a slip with a dress and stockings with our dress, you know, looking decent. And so my one grandmother, I would say, taught us to don't take any mess. The other one taught us to don't look like a mess and don't be a mess. So it was an appreciated balance, I would say. I always say that I had Medea and Queen Elizabeth for grandmothers, you know. So me and my sisters, we had boundaries set from all sides, and we were pretty much required to show respect and was expected to portray, you know, good behavior in the home as well as in public. And so, you know, we knew not to act a fool, and we couldn't bring any foolishness to the house. And, you know, my father having all girls, he was extra, you know, especially with male friends that we had, and they would come over, you know, scared to death. But it meant a lot to us, you know, eventually growing up, because we saw how he loved on my mother and how they had a loving relationship, you know. And even, you know, when he passed, it was funny because when he passed, my mother was saying if she was to ever date again, she was like, if I ever date again, I'm going to find someone just like your dad. And me and my sisters was like, be for real, you know. They're not out there, so just give that thought up, you know. But we knew from him what to expect, you know, from men. And we were trained at home, you know, to have good manners and receive good manners. And, you know, it's a saying that says if you have children, remember that when you finish with them, the rest of the world has to live with them. So please teach them, you know, respect and manners. So we were taught that. But the difference with that and etiquette is, although we were taught manners, we weren't really taught the qualities or practiced the qualities of etiquette. And that's basically because nobody know what etiquette really was. And I'm sure that, you know, whoever's listening is probably thinking that they are the same thing. And they're almost one and the same, but they're kind of different, and by that I mean that they're closely associated with each other, but if you look it up in the dictionary, they have two definitions. And with manners, it is known to be a polite behavior, you know, that shows an attitude of kindness and consideration and respect. And manners is universal. You know, you can expect to receive good manners anywhere in the world, and it's also something that's everlasting. Manners will be around forever. And as opposed to etiquette is basically a code of rules that would apply to whatever situation you may be in or event, and it's cultural, and it changes with time, you know. And as we can see, it just changed with the things changed with the pandemic, you know. People don't want to be close to each other anymore, you know, and that was a form of etiquette that, you know, you would be close to each other and, you know, within 3 feet of each other as you talk and stuff like that. So the pandemic pretty much made a big change to etiquette. So that's the difference between the etiquette, you know, can come and go and change with time. And so just using the pandemic as an example, you know, I would use the form of the handshake. You know, at one point we were comfortable shaking each other's hands, you know, and then when COVID-19 came, you know, nobody wanted to touch each other. But here, you know, in the West, that was a form of a greeting, is shaking the hand. But if you were to go to Asia and stick your hand out to one of the residents that live there and expect them to shake your hand in return, you're probably going to get an awkward stare, you know, and that's because, of course, they do what? They bow to each other. They don't touch each other. So that's a form of etiquette, you know. And then another one would be if you were to, say, like you were to go to a formal banquet, a dinner banquet, and it's you and your sister, and y'all sit down at the table, and you in the place settings, you know, how sometimes you go and sit, the cutlery are very close to each other. And so you sit down, you know, how many times we sit down and we look at the silverware and you're trying to figure out which fork is yours, right? And so you take a fork and you just grab it because you think it's yours, and you actually took your sister's fork. And so, you know, she just decides that she's going to take the fork that's available, and you start eating. Now, that's a form of etiquette, because there's a place setting that you have your set of forks and she has her set of forks, but you didn't really offend anyone. So it's not considered to be bad manners because you took her fork. It's just, you know, bad etiquette because you didn't know. And where the bad manners would come in is if your sister, you know, scolded you or teased you for not knowing any better and embarrassed you, then she would be considered to have bad manners. So that's the difference between the two. Like I said, they're kind of like one and the same, but one is a little bit more controlled and ruled, like, you know. Mm-hmm. So to go on how I decided to be an etiquette consultant, it basically came out of nowhere, because I've never thought of it, and which is why I say, you know, things are not mere coincidence, you know. And so with me working at the court for so long, after 30 years, I just started becoming, you know, restless and discontent, and you know, that's how I felt on the inside. You know, I never showed it, you know, because I am in public service, so I did still come to work and, you know, treat everybody with respect and nice, you know. But on the inside, I just wasn't feeling it. And I wasn't miserable, and I'm still not miserable. You know, I'm still there. But it was just the changes that were taking place, you know. The staff changed, and the administration changed, and procedures changed, and the moral got low, you know, the morale got low. So, you know, I was just wondering if it was time for something different for me, you know, a change in season. So I started praying, asking, you know, more about my purpose in life, you know, and if I was fulfilling it. So, of course, as many of us do, we look for signs. And so I started asking God, show me a sign if I need to be doing something different, and make it plain, you know. I wanted a sign like Gideon in the Bible. Let the fire shoot up from the rock or something. Show me something. And so so I knew if I was to do anything different, that I wanted to be an entrepreneur and a business owner. But different from my daughter and wanting to be a business owner in products, I knew that I wanted something to be of service, you know, to help people. And so I started off taking a class, a holistic class, because I'm thinking, you know, maybe I'll just help people in a healthy manner. And so I went and took a class in massages and reflexology. And with reflexology, that's a form of healing through your hands and your feet. And so with your hands and your feet, each part of your hand or your foot has a pressure point that's connected to one of your organs. So, you know, say like you got a sinus headache, to relieve that sinus headache, you would apply pressure to the inner part of your hand or to your big toe. So I'm like, okay, I'll go and I'll start doing stuff like that. So, of course, it was it involved, you know, class interaction, and the time that we had to actually start working on each other, I was the giver while this lady was going to be the receiver, and she took her socks and shoe off and plopped her foot down on the desk, and I'm looking like, ew. So I said, no, this cannot be a sign from God. So I will not be taking this class. So I ended up leaving that and started a class in aromatherapy. And so I'm like, okay, that should be easy. I can just, you know, figure out how to mix a couple of oils and see how we can use oils to heal ourselves and, you know, go that route. But that ended up becoming very expensive, very expensive. So, and then it calls for basically knowing chemistry. So I just, you know, gave up on the whole idea of doing something different at that time. And I kind of put it on the back burner because at the same time, Caitlin and Maya, they were getting older. And so they started doing a lot more things for them with themselves that involved themselves. And, you know, I ended up doing things with them and started hanging around, you know, children more because of them. And so I was chaperoning school, you know, field trips and helping them with curricular, extracurricular activities. And I was the volleyball team mom and the basketball team mom. And then Maya joined the girls' praise team at church. So I started helping out with that. And then I started doing the Friday night events at church with the teenagers. And so, you know, I was fine with that. It kept me busy. And then I was at work one day scrolling through Facebook, and I had seen where someone had put up a post looking for a etiquette teacher to go to their child's school because they were in need of an etiquette teacher to help them with a dinner ball they were having. And so I'm looking, I'm like, that's it. That's me, you know. And it just came from nowhere. And so the person never got any replies on it. And I'm like, goodness, there's nobody around that teaches etiquette, you know. So I'm like, that's going to be me, you know. And so I was thinking, you know, I'm already around kids, you know, at home and at work, you know, because there were times at work where I would end up, you know, in the hallway talking with the juveniles out of the courtroom, you know, and just trying to encourage them to keep them, you know, from coming back. And so I'm like, I'm already, you know, mentoring, so-so mentoring kids. And then I, you know, thought back to the times of me being, my parents had put me in a debutante ball and how much I loved that. And I was in a teen pageant and I was in numerous fashion shows, you know. And so I had the qualities of it. And then, you know, I loved my monarchy movies, you know, with the knights and the castles and the kings and the queens. I can watch them all day long. And my daughters, they would see me watching it and be like, you watching another royalty movie? You know, they was like, what do you like about that? But it was just something that draws me to it, you know. And so after seeing that post, you know, I'm like, I can go ahead and do that. And so, you know, another thing that I said wasn't a coincidence. You know, it was just the timing of it. And so I started Googling etiquette teachers, you know, how I can take a class. And there was no etiquette teachers in the area. There was no classes or brick and mortar schools, you know, in Michigan. So I ended up taking a course online and I received my certification. And then you know, while I was taking the course, I'm having visions in my head of how I'm going to run it and, you know, trying to think of the specifics. And so I'm trying to think of a name and a logo and all that stuff. And I'm sitting, you know, sitting at the desk drafting names and drafting logos and, you know, showing my family and showing the attorneys at work, trying to get their opinion. And I couldn't come up with anything. And so something just told me to look up my name. And I didn't expect to find anything, you know, because I knew my name wasn't an average name. You know, I don't have that type of name where I can go to the store and it's on a keychain or a magnet, you know. So I really wasn't expecting anything, but something popped up. And it came up with the meaning of, it said that it was a popular, it was popular in the Christian religion, and it meant dear one and hopeful and charming, and a person driven with a strong inner urge to be of service in a way that would uplift humanity. So I'm like, wow, you know, that just falls right in line with me, you know. So it just made me think of the times in the Bible when God gave, you know, would give someone their name or change their name to suit their character or their purpose or, you know, whatever it is that he had required of them to do. And, you know, my parents didn't know the meaning of the name when they named me that, you know. They just thought it was cute. And so, actually, my mother wanted me to be named Charisma after a perfume she was wearing from Avon. So my father took that and, you know, changed it to Charisse. And so I didn't want to use my name in the business. And he and thinking of my dad, you know, he would mockingly call me Char, you know, trying to mimic a name that my best friends gave me growing up. And so I ended up taking Char and taking Charm, of course, because of the meaning of Charm School. And that's how I came up with that. And then my daughter, Caitlin, the designer, ended up drawing my logo for me, which is an image of me, a more animated image of me, I should say. But it was something that was appealing to, you know, young children. And so, I cleaned out my basement, and I had it all decorated for in pink and white, you know, with pink paint and white pearls and pink tulle going out around, and I got my business license, and I got a lot of encouragement and a lot of confirmations, a lot of advice and appreciation. And I can remember being in a dollar store one time and was buying some things for the class, and it was a bulk of things, and one of the ladies from the church, one of the senior ladies from the church was in there. And she was like, "Why you got all those mirrors?" You know, because I had a lot of mirrors. And I had told her what I was getting ready to start. And she was just so excited. She was like, "Oh, my goodness, we need it." She said, "But, sweetie, can you be sure to do one thing for me?" And I said, "Well, what's that?" And she said, "Please make sure you teach them not to come outside with them bonnets on their head." So I said, "Yes, ma'am, I sure will." So, you know, that's how it got started. I didn't have any money to start, you know. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. We have some guests that want to, some callers that want to ask some questions. So
okay.
So you just, so it was just for girls. You didn't, it wasn't for boys.
Well, no. What happened was, when I started having the girls over, my nephews happened to be here one time during one of the sessions, and I had them join the class, and they loved it. And so once they joined, a couple of the girls that were already there had brothers, and they came. And so I had to pretty much redesign the whole basement so it was, you know, for boys and girls, you know. But I eventually started having it for boys also.
Oh, good. Yeah, you know, with that, the behavior with our school systems, you know, and our kids, you know, with their behavior sort of being out of control, that is something that's really needed. So that would help behavior of kids.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Because, you know, we had all different topics of school. I'm sorry, of etiquette, and one of them was school etiquette and how to behave in etiquette, because, you know, teachers were feeling that they were spending too much time disciplining mm-hmm. instead of teaching, you know. So mm-hmm. that's one of the courses is school etiquette.
Mm-hmm. So that's really needed. Okay, if you want to ask the question, just press 1 and you can talk to Ms. Shar, Sharice, and Peyton. Okay, go ahead, 4976. She's been waiting a while.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi. Enjoy both call, both of your guests. I remember Caitlin, she was that child that was reading at 2 years old. I mean, actually reading books at 2 years old. And I can see how that has really paid off for her. I wanted to ask Caitlin, when she starts designing her things, is going to be for it's going to be all high fashion. It's going to be for a certain age group of people, or I want to ask her that. And also, I want to know about the fabrics. You know, it's like when you go to these stores nowadays, the material that they use for women's outfits are not like they used to be. The material is not very good. And sometimes I found myself, well, if I needed a nice business suit, I found myself going to the men's department because their material, their suits had linings in it. Their sleeves were long enough. It's because I'm a tall person. And they just had nicer material. So I would like for her to address that. And to Ms. Sharice, which is everything you said about coming up and how, you know, our grandparents and mothers taught us how to dress, how we were required to wear a slip under our dresses and to be presentable at all times. I can remember in grade school, there was this one young lady whose mother sent her to charm school. And she would come back and she would teach us what she learned in charm school. And one of the things I remember was how she taught us how to walk. Now, here we were all in the third grade, but she taught us how to walk. We put a book on our heads and we would balance that book and we would walk. And that's some of the things I've taught my nieces, since I don't have any daughters. I tell them, I said, you know, you wear a lot of gym shoes, but when you get ready to go out, you want to wear a nice heel. And you're not going to be able to walk in that heel unless you practice. And even to this day, I still balance a book on my head and wear and walk around with heels. So I'm glad that there's someone out here like Sharice who are teaching our young girls how to try to dress appropriately. Regardless of what's on TV, they don't need to be showing everything. My goodness, you would think that having a set of breasts and is something that was just discovered like a year ago, because, you know, and your rear end, everybody wants to show it. I mean, it's been there. You're going to have it. It's not going to always look that way, but everyone has a set and a pair. So. So that's my comment.
That's true about the dress, and what I've learned is they feel that it's the way to be accepted by their peers. You know, we had a session once where we were discussing grooming and how to dress and all that stuff. And I passed out a couple of pictures to the girls, and I had them circulated around amongst each other. And one picture had a set of girls on it with business attire. They were wearing business attire. And then another one had women on there in regular casual clothes, you know. Then I had mm-hmm. another one that had these girls in skin-tight leggings and tight top exposing themselves. And so when I collected them to see what they had all chosen, I told them, pick a set of girls that you would like to hang out with. And they picked one of the girls picked the one that had the girls on there that was looking ratchet. And so, and she was, kind of a heavy set girl. And so I gave her the side eye, I was like, really? And so she's cracking up laughing because she knew it was out of order. But yeah. She said that she just felt that is what was popular, and that's how she wanted to look.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's society that is causing them to think they should look and act a certain way, just to be accepted.
Yes.
I'll let Caitlin go ahead and answer the fabric question.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm gonna go based off or kind of piggyback off of what my mom was talking about. So that's like the way the girls dress now. It definitely is a trend. So like right now, I'm designing for my designer, and he was saying like, "Oh, we need something sexy," and obviously I know what he means by that. In this day and age, it means something skin tight, so maybe a bodysuit or something of that nature. But I would love for us to like get another verse. Like inherit another word of sexy and not always have it to be revealing and things of that nature. Like I feel like a woman in a very nice business suit is sexy to me because I don't know, it shows power and that they have it going on and they have their stuff together and they're in business and they're in power in the business. So I would love for that to be a trend itself, is to encourage more non-revealing things, just because, like, to me, it's hurting the youth because it's, like, social media is a blessing and a curse because it's teaching the youth, like, a different way of living. And sometimes it's not a good way of living. Like, rappers and people like Meg Thee Stallion, like, obviously, they are all, I love all of them. I love all their music. But it's low-key teaching the younger children, like, oh, it's okay to do this. It's okay to dress like this because this is, like, what's in. But I don't know. I want to be the one that, like, sets the new trend for how to dress differently, even though sometimes I do wear, I'm a guilty pleasure of tight clothing. But I just wanted a different perspective. But to go to answer your question about fabric, so this day and age, unfortunately, we have entered into a new territory called fast fashion. It's been around for a while now. However, it's definitely one of the reasons why the earth is polluted is because all of that fast fashion, once all the clothes are getting thrown away, it goes into these big, huge piles towards the ocean, these dump piles, and they stay there for years just because fabric doesn't, digress? I don't want to use the wrong word. But it doesn't...
degenerate.
It doesn't decompose correctly. That's the word. It doesn't do that correctly. So it just stays there over years and collects all this pollution and stuff like that. And one of the reasons why is because everything is made out of polyester now, which is a man-made fabric. it's pretty much like plastic intertwined with cottons and different fabric blends and things like that. And then you have polyester satin, you have polyester cotton, polyester this, polyester that. And that's probably a reason why you're saying that and majority of polyester is made from women's clothing just because women buy clothing more than men. So that's a reason why fabric is so cheaply made, I would say,
for women is because we buy so much that sometimes the demand is more than the supply. So they have to use alternative solutions, which is the cheap fabric, unfortunately. I do know that men has a better quality just because, again, most like suits and stuff like that, those vendors, I'm pretty sure they are dedicated to those type of businesses where they just create suits. So they have this suiting that they use particularly for that specific collection or something along that nature. I hope to not do that, but it's definitely hard to try to find authentic vendors that sell those type of fabrics, especially for a reasonable price. But yeah, that's the way the world is going towards now, which is very unfortunate, mm-hmm. which is why people or fashion schools are starting to teach different courses on sustainability through fashion because they want to find alternative routes so that we won't keep polluting the world and stuff, and mm-hmm. so that we do have quality made clothes. It's kind of crazy, but everything is literally made in China. So even if it is like a luxury brand like Louis Vuitton or Gucci or Yves Saint Laurent or a Macy's brand, most of that stuff is made in China. So most of our outsourcing and stuff comes from them because they are the ones who's running the world kind of when it comes to fashion and manufacturing, things of that nature. So it's more like my goal is to like just find a manufacturer that that will be able to manufacture fabrics that are not so cheaply made, because I know like that's definitely a big part of people's buying habits. Like of course they don't want to buy something that's cheaply made because it breaks easily. But yeah, for my own business, I definitely want to start off with just like women's wear. No age requirements or restrictions or anything. I would say not children's wear, so I don't know what age that you stop, maybe like 12 or 13, but like 14 and up, that's when they kind of start shopping in the women's department. But I definitely want to start there with small sizes all the way up to plus sizes, because everyone deserves a chance to feel beautiful and whatever I make. But then I do want to venture off into men's wear and in children's wear. But women right now, like I said, are running the world when it comes to fashion, so that's the biggest target market. My aesthetic is going to appeal to all aesthetic types, so I'm going to have something for the classic businesswoman, for the people who like to go out and party, or people who like to go to brunches every day. So there definitely will be something for everyone eventually. or in my collections that I design, definitely going to be something for someone to wear and hopefully affordable.
That's good to hear, really. I had an opportunity to travel to Barbados, where they do a lot of custom clothing. And so, and they had a lot of textile stores where you just pick up your material and you could basically tell the person how you want it made. And I got a bunch of suits made, and you know, very nice suits made that I could wear to work. Because like I said, I can't go to Macy's or anybody else and get a suit because my arms are long, I have broad shoulders. And it's difficult to find something a nice suit. And then I eventually started buying the men's suits, and had a tailor converted to a women's suit. And it was just made better. The claps on the pants and everything was just better. They had a lining in the pants. The jackets were sturdy and whatnot, and it just made you look tailored and neat. And like the material, the men's material is always, it's always a lot better. And like I say, when someone saw me one of those suits, like I know a couple of times a man would say, "Oh my God, that's a nice suit," and I would say, "Well, thank you." You know, you know, I didn't tell them it was a man's suit originally, but you know, I had to tailor, you know, put the darts in it, you know, put the buttons from the left to the right or whatever how it went. But you know, I hope that when you start your business that you can find some decent material and whatnot, and because I'll definitely be a customer.
Yes, definitely. And that's another thing too with menswear. Like a lot of manufacturers or the people who design menswear, they definitely make their clothes a little bit sturdier than women's, just because I believe they have in their head that men work way more harder than women, so they make the clothes way more sturdier for men because they are in different environments way more than women. Even though I don't think that's the case, because I feel like women work just as hard as men, so I feel like the clothes should not be, like clothes shouldn't have a differentiality just because of you people thinking as such. Like women deserve to have linings and things in their jackets, just because that definitely makes a clothing, like having, just putting in lining makes the clothing more sturdy in general, just because it's just another extra layer of fabric to protect from different wear and tear things that may happen. Yeah, it's just an unfortunate thing with fashion, the fashion industry. They, you would think that it would be equally executed in all genders and ages and sizes, but kind of not. That's why I was saying it's kind of unfortunate that my school wasn't able to teach me plus size grading and plus size designing, because that's not typically the target market. But you don't, like, everyone's not going to design for a skinny person, so you have to be able to design for multiple different types, especially with body types, because all of our bodies are not the same. They're not made the same. We're all equally or uniquely designed. Cool. So I feel like I definitely want to implement that as well. I was just telling my designer that we should implement more plus-size clothing, just because that's where the money is a lot of times, because there's not a lot of plus-size clothing brands. So plus-size models or plus-size people are looking for those brands that appeal to them. So I was trying to tell him, like, we definitely need to look more into plus size, because that will bring in a lot more customers, because a lot of those people are not tended to do fashion, which is sad. But I definitely want to be the one to make the change and have everyone in something that they can look nice in without it looking cheap, or without it's not suiting to them particularly. Yeah, that's my ultimate goal, for real. Design something for everyone to be comfortable in.
Wonderful. That's great.
Anyone have any more questions? Press one, and I will open up your mic.
No, thank you very much. Very good topic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very thorough. So you did hit on a lot of your skills and things like that, as far as if a young person wanted to go into fashion design, you know, they should know how to sew. They should maybe know how to have drawing skills, maybe understand about fabrics and things like that. And you said something about communication. So is there anything else that they should know if they want to, you know, their parents want to, or you want to go into fashion?
I would definitely. So if you're not interested in college, there's definitely resources out there like YouTube. I watch Zoe Hong, Z O E H O N G.
she pretty much taught things online that I learned in college. So, and that's kind of
wow.
sad because I was like, dang, like maybe I didn't have to go to college for this because she just taught me everything. But she's definitely a good resource. She teaches you about patterns. She teaches you about grading. She teaches you about different resources like books and things of that nature. She teaches you how to draw. She teaches you about fabric. She teaches you about tech packs, which is a definitely important skill to have because you need tech packs in order to talk to these manufacturers because, like I said, many of these manufacturers and vendors that you're getting your clothing and fabric from are from China. So, and they're not, obviously they're from China, so they might not be bilingual and might not speak English. So tech packs are easily known, and they know how to read those just because they're always used in fashion. But using a tech pack, you can also just put all that stuff into Google Translator and translate it, and so it's easily, so that way you're not wasting money on samples and things of that nature. But like I said, if you're not interested in going to college, YouTube is definitely a good resource. And like I said, Zoe Hong was definitely a great person that I watched. And then, like I said, there's tons of other designers that will teach you how to sew and things of that nature. You can always reach out to me. My Instagram is TheRealCaitlinMarie. So you can shoot me a DM message and ask any question you want about fashion. I'll try my best to answer it. Or you can email me at CaitlinBrooks2K17@gmail. I will try my best to reach out to you then, too. But I'm a social media girl, so any social media will work better than my email. But definitely, if you have any questions, you're always welcome to reach out to me. I will definitely answer anything that you need as far, and it doesn't have to be fashion-related. It could just be college-related in general. I also have depression and anxiety, so if I know, like, a lot of kids out there are not really knowing how to, like, deal with that, especially during college. So if you need someone to reach out to, I am also good with that as well. Just trying to be a good role model for a lot of young students, because especially in that field and in fashion, because like I said, I know there's not a lot of people out there that knows.
Wow, you are well rounded.
Thank you.
7605. You're on with Caitlin and Cherie.
Thank you.
We know that boy. Hi, Granny.
Hello, darlings. I have been so well pleased with your guests today, and that I've learned mm-hmm. so much from them. They both had so much information to share, and I'm hoping that there were enough listeners in your audience that can take advantage of what both have said. For Caitlin, I do have a couple questions, one for each one of you. For Caitlin, I want to say to you, your slogan of doing my best is enough, that just struck my heart. That's how you said you made it through college, doing the best that you could do. And that's always been my mantra for you and any child, any student, any young person, any old person. As long as you're giving your best, there's nothing else that can be asked for. And when my grandsons have come to me and had, a little grade that they weren't quite pleased with, then I would ask them, did you do your best? And if he says yes, I said, well, there's nothing more to be said. You did your best. So thank you so much for sharing your ups and downs and how you've come through it all. And I wish you much success in your endeavors. My question to you, Caitlin, if you could design for a famous person, who would it be and why?
So,
and for I'll just answer her and then I'll listen. And for Cherise, my question to you is, What do you hope the young people that come under your coaching will learn and be able to transfer into their everyday lives? And I'll listen to both of you.
Okay, I'll go first, Mommy. So, I always wanted to design for Rihanna. She's a singer, songwriter, actress. Pretty much, she's a billionaire. She has her own collection. She has Fenty Skin, Fenty Beauty, and Fenty the fashion design brand. So I always wanted to design for her just because her aesthetic is way into my style. I just love how she dresses or her style and things of that nature. So yeah, that was the one person that I wanted to design for. I actually wanted to be her intern back when her fashion line was like up and running. I believe it's closed down right now because she said she wanted to focus on her beauty line, but it definitely had like some internship opportunities on their website, and I definitely applied, but it was a little bit too late. So yeah, I still want to design for her line. I actually did a whole portfolio inspired by her clothing. So yeah, that's who I want to design for, Rihanna.
All right.
Mom.
Okay.
And for the question of what I hope that young people will learn and use into their everyday lives is I would hope that they learn the importance of etiquette and how it is a gateway to many opportunities. It's not accepted by a lot. You know, people don't understand that it is a guide to help them. But a lot of people don't accept it, you know. Sometimes when we may put up a post or something on social media about etiquette rule or a way to behave, and you would get those people to come on and are, you know, telling you who are you to tell them how to act, and, you know, the rules are outdated or stupid, or, you know, they should be able to eat the way they want to eat and sit the way they want to sit, and, you know, and that's fine and dandy, but they just they're going to have to know that type of behavior and those type of acts are going to cause them to miss out on job opportunities and promotions, and, you know, people aren't going to want to be around them. You know, they may not get invited to dinner or, you know, something like that. So, you know, I just want them to know the importance of it, and it's a way to transform themselves, you know, and once they transform themselves, you know, the home is then transformed, and then the community is transformed, and then there's a shift in society and in the world.
Wow. Great. Mhm. It is. Wow. Okay. Yeah, and that will be excellent for, you know, the schools and the behavior of the children, you know, so that the teachers can be able to teach. I
Absolutely.
Hear a lot of talk about the kids that come from the city that go to school and transfer to the suburbs. It's just like a whole nother different type of behavior and environment. It's just like night and day. So, yeah, that would be great for the boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was fun because what I learned when I first started teaching etiquette, you know, the first couple of sessions were basically sitting and walking and, you know, poise and posture, you know, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And those first couple of sessions went that way, and then I would say like within the third session, I ended up talking about personality. And so we talked about the quality person and the non-quality person. And I had them check off things that made them feel good and things that made them feel bad that people would say. And, you know, things just started coming out that I wasn't expecting. You know, they started talking about their family issues and their backgrounds and how some of them had fathers that were incarcerated. Some of them had fathers that started living with another woman who had her own kids and, you know, they didn't want to be bothered. And then you had the one little girl came. She was brought over by her aunt because her mother didn't want her anymore. So she was living with her aunt. And, you know, girls who were saying their parents were calling them, you know, fat and the B word and the H word, you know. So it kind of caught me off guard because, you know, I remember telling my mother, I thought my only role here was to, you know, teach them how to sit and walk and, you know, be a lady. I wasn't expecting to be a therapist, and that's what it ended up being, you know. So I had to start reading a lot of psychology websites and family websites and how to deal with teen websites, you know. So it really took me in a whole other direction that I didn't start off going in, you know, and thinking that I was going to stay in. So it's a lot of emotionally damaged girls and young men who don't have any self-esteem, any confidence, you know, any love. So, you know, when I first started it, the class, I knew that I wanted to make it a Christian faith, a Christian foundation, you know. And I would tell that to the parents when they would bring the kids that, you know, we're going to be talking about the Bible, just so you know. So, you know, I wanted to give them a heads up. And everyone were, they were all in agreement with it, you know, thank goodness. So once I started hearing different stories and having these conversations, and I always told them what we talked about was strictly between us and the girls that were there, you know. And I didn't have any worry of anybody going out telling anybody's business because all of them had a story, and they could, and they were not in agreement and could pretty much, you know, relate. So what I started doing was each topic that we would discuss, I would try to incorporate a Bible scripture in it. So when we talked about, you know, sisterhood, I would throw in Ephesians, you know, 5:4, you know, saying, you know, building up others and not knocking them down, you know. And then when we talked about clothing and dressing, I threw in wearing the armor of God, you know. And, of course, you know, we went by the golden rule, do unto others as others would do unto you. So, you know, they were receptive to that. You know, I ended up having like a scripture where whenever they came in, we always started off with Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, you know, be acceptable. And they ended up pretty much learning that by heart because when they came in, that was the first thing we did was recite that, you know. So I tried to get them to see that they were designed with a purpose and they were wonderfully made, you know, and that God had something for them. And there was, you know, there was a bigger picture for them and their lives. And, you know, it wasn't just about, you know, social media. And because like my daughter said, that plays a major role on how they act. Social media, pop culture, reality TV shows, you know, Love and Hip Hop and Housewives of Atlanta, you know, all that, they watch all of that, and they're just sucking it in, and they're thinking that that's the way it should be.
Okay. That's just thorough. That is very good.
And so, you know, another thing, when I started it, I started it with the purpose of just doing it from my heart. You know, I don't charge, you know, and I knew I didn't want to charge because, you know, like Caitlin said, there were times when, you know, she wanted to do stuff, and I knew that my both of them wanted to do things growing up, you know. And I had the desire, you know, to want to put them in certain classes, you know, that would be for the elitists, you know, and dance classes and different camps. But I couldn't afford it, you know. And thankfully, my mom kind of picked up on the tab of that, you know, and she enrolled them in things. But I knew that it was a problem. And if I was to have charged a fee, the young ladies that were in the class would have never been there, because I know for a fact that their parents would not have paid the money, especially the money that is asked for in the typical etiquette class. So they would not have learned. And it's my, you know, my thought, why deprive them of something that we know that the community needs and that they need, you know, just because, you know, they're less fortunate of anybody else, you know, out in the suburbs or whatever, you know. So by the grace of God, you know, we were able to run the class through donations, and the parents would bring supplies and food, and people would donate money, you know. So that's how we've been able to get by. And believe me, we have not wanted for anything.
That is great. It truly takes a family. It takes a village. It takes a community. It takes everybody to help, you know. We have to, as people, have to get used to making investments in our kids, you know. They're ours. We have them. And we have to give them what they need to make it. And it's just an investment. You know, we buy everything else. But our kids should be most important and first on the list, you know, and we should get used to investing in our kids, because the long term is what's going to count. Yeah. But it do take a family, and it takes a community and a village to help out. So, yeah. Well, it has been wonderful. I have no words. It has been a wonderful evening. Caitlin, I enjoy everything you say. You were so thorough with this. Wow. I hope that, you know, the charm and etiquette class continue. Have you started back yet?
I have not started back yet, only because, like I said, of the pandemic. And I just like the interaction, and you know, I know that the youth likes the interaction. Somebody had once asked me if I would consider doing it by Zoom, but it's not the same. It's definitely not the same. You know, we need that face to face contact, and then, you know, by Zoom, it may be some things that they want to discuss or say, and somebody's looking over their shoulder, you know, listening, you know, so. I just did the ideal of Zoom, but thankfully things are starting to change and lighten up a little bit to where, you know, maybe we can get started again. But I am available, you know, if someone is having an event or anything like that and want me to come to them, because, you know, right now my home and my basement is going under some reconstruction, so. If anybody was having any type of event or anything at the church, or, you know, Boys and Girls Club or something like that, I'll be glad to come.
You know, we're going to be in touch. Give us your information. Do you have, like, a website or email that you want them to?
Yes, ma'am. They can. I'm on Facebook under Miss Charm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I don't really say I use it. I actually got the Instagram because it was my way of keeping in touch with the youth, but I hate it with a passion almost. But you know, it's crazy because I ended up opening Instagram to stay connected with the kids, and that's actually how I get my material. Believe it or not, you know, I'll see them post something, and I'll be like, oh my Lord, you know. And next couple of weeks is in one of my classes, the topic, you know.
Okay.
So
right.
I do use Instagram, but my email is MissCharm@gmail.com.
Okay, we got one more question, and then we're going to go to someone wants to promote their business. Anybody got a business that they want to promote, you can do so after done here. So go ahead,
Tila,
you have a question.
I have a statement. Cherise, good hearing from you, and good to hear that you and Caitlin are doing good things and great things. I'm proud of Caitlin, and I remember those days at Mount Zion.
Aww.
So hello.
Tila, I know that's your voice, Tila. Hi.
Yes. So
good hearing from you, too.
Okay, if it's okay, I'm get your number from Kathy, and
yes, ma'am,
so it reach out to you. Okay,
yes, ma'am, because I know you have those young kings, so I would love to see them.
Okay, all right, good hearing from you. Okay,
thank you.
You're welcome.
That etiquette is so much needed. So yes, you're gonna be we're gonna really get in touch with you, Cherise, about that. For sure.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Okay. I just want to say thank you to you and Caitlin for coming on. Enjoyed you guys 100%.
Lauren? Yes, ma'am.
Okay, go ahead. He wants to talk about his business. He's been trying to get on for a few weeks now, so go ahead and tell us about your wine tasting business.
Yeah, good Sunday evening, everyone. My name is Lauren, aka Maverick. I'm Kathy's nephew. I have a wine tasting business here in Detroit City, downtown Detroit metro area. It's an unlimited wine tasting. It's an original original business that's done nowhere in the world. We've been operating since September of 2018, and what we do is we do a tour of the downtown metro area, midtown, uptown, downtown, and riverfront. And while we do that, we conduct an actual wine tasting on our vehicles. Our vehicles are vintage Molly trolleys. They're open air, so we can roll the windows up when it's nice outside. Or any inclement weather, we simply roll the windows down to protect the people on the inside. They're heated. In the wintertime, so we run all year round. It's $40 per person if you want to do the tour individually. If you want to do it as a group, it's still $40 per person, but we have a system where you have to simply make a small deposit so you don't have to pay the whole thing or leave a large deposit. And then we'll send out the rest of the information to the host to send to their group, and then they can pay for their own individual tickets. Like I said, we started this venture 2018, and it's growing. We're now on our second trolley, and we're exploring expanding to other cities as we speak. I came in on the latter part of the discussion, and I do like what I hear as far as the youth. As we build this brand and continue to build Mobile Fine Wine Tasting, this is just the first brick in the foundation of what I really want to do as far as helping the youth, especially with entrepreneurship. I know we preach to our children to go to school and do those things and get employment, but I don't think we preach enough about entrepreneurship. So as this is the first building block to create revenue and generate revenue over the next 5 years, I'm working with my cousin Andrew Beaver, who's very heavy on the financial side, a very bright individual, to move into development and opportunities to build. And what I want to actually do, you know, 5 years from now, as revenue is really generating and we're able to get into the developmental side of living space for people, is actually open up a school for entrepreneurship and based on using your hands again, things we had back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s with vocational schools, learning how to build things, wire things, those type of things for the youth that don't want to go to college per se and want to start their own business. And to link it up with what we're doing, those that plumbers, those that's good with their hands and things like that, since we'll be opening up a development side in the real estate where we're building buildings and things like that for living space, we can use those young individuals to actually do the work, and not only do the work, start their own business, since they will have business with us and building projects and things like that. They can still have their own business to work within the community, if it's plumbing, if it's drywall, if it's whatever. But when it comes to building, they'll have an opportunity to have their own business and work with us and still work with the public. So I think that's a good way to get young people involved in entrepreneurship. And I'm talking about starting this in like the ninth grade and moving forward and after high school if they don't want to go to college. So this is ultimately what I want to do and how we help the youth get into entrepreneurship, because everybody may not want to be in the wine tasting. Everybody, like I say, may not want to go to college and work for someone. Some people want to do their own thing, which I implore and which I promote all the time. So that's what I do, and that's what I'm looking forward to doing with the youth moving forward.
Okay, beautiful. Sound like a professional there. Great.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is what I think about and do every day. I mean, this is what I think about and do every day. And I'm starting with my own, so I have a daughter, so I'm starting with my own, so, you know. Yeah, to practice what you preach, so I have a daughter that's 22 years old, so I make sure she works with me closely every day so she'll know what business is about. See the bottom line and see what you generate when you go and put time into yourself. A lot of times we put, you know, 40-plus hours a week into somebody else's business, and, you know, if you go up the family tree in their business, hey, they on the boat somewhere, you know, while you working hard. And we got to start figuring out ways to get in that type of company, you know, especially my family, because my family is very large. So I think at this point, you know, coming together, somebody got to take the steering wheel and drive that way. And, Kathy, you know, father just passed a couple years ago, and he told me a lot of things. So I figured, hey, he told me don't stop what I'm doing no matter what. So we've gotten through COVID, through the shutdown, through the slow times, and we came out of COVID adding an extra trolley. We started with one, now we got two. So the next goal is 4, then 8, and just continue to build, and that'll build us financially. That will give us that revenue we need to do the rest of the things that we want to do, because you're going to need that revenue. I mean, you know, we hope a lot, we pray a lot, but it's time to do the work, which is the most important thing.
All right, great. That's beautiful. So hopefully you have a lot of young men, some of those youth, the young ones, to see what you're doing, and you could, you know, get them on board and get them going. That sounds wonderful.
Right, right.
Entrepreneurship is good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And anytime you want to bring the kids out to the trolley, you know, or, you know, just to see, I think it's good. Like you say, optics are very important. I heard, I forget who I just was speaking, and she was explaining what's on TV, what's on the radio, and things like that. And we are inundated and flooded with the negativity of what's on the media, what's on TV, what's on the radio. And optics is very important. And I think the optics of bringing your kids out and seeing black people do their thing is very important. So if you want to bring the kids out, it doesn't matter what age it is to me, if you want to bring them out at 5 believe it or not, I'm riding through downtown every weekend, Thursday through Sunday, and I see little kids and their eyes blow up when they see that trolley riding by. So, I mean, that changes the life just seeing it. So, you know, to know that, hey, black people own that, they run that, you know, hey, that's something that you aspire the youth. And I'm not just talking about the young ones that's 2 and 3. I'm talking about 15, 16, 17, and so forth. So anytime you want to bring them down, I got no problem with it. I got no problem. Actually, I implore you to do that so we can show them that, hey, we do things too. It's just not them. And last thing I want to say, like our neighborhoods, there are ways we can start, you know, getting back to our neighborhoods and doing the work and doing the business. Because if you look at it, if we look at all the stores, everything there, because I get this a lot. People get on a trolley and they say, hey, man, I could do this. Man, I want to buy me a trolley, which I like that I aspire to do that. But every place you go is a successful business. That's why it's there. So you should be inspired, not because a black man is doing it, because there's a business there and it's in your neighborhood and it's working every day and you're taking your money there every day. And what we have to start doing is being innovative with our community, the blocks we live on, and start saying, hey, listen, how do we come together and buy land, because there's land everywhere, and create our own store, and our block owns that store. So now your block is making money off of the community, and the next block can buy the next thing that's in the community. And I actually have a program for that. So each block now has a risk involved in the community to bring the community up. We've got to start pooling our money together to take over our community, because all of those stores that's in our community that's not owned by us take that money, extract it, and take it to their communities. I'm pretty sure if one block got together just to show people and buy and put their money together, buy some land, build a store, or build a cleaners or whatever, and now everybody in the community is going to that store now, you're going to find out that you're going to get more opportunities for more blocks to do that. I actually call it the Empowering the Block program. And we got to start doing those type of things collectively together to buy our own neighborhoods back and get those people that take the money out of our neighborhoods and take them somewhere else. Then we'll see our property value go up. Then you'll see the schooling go up. That's what we have to do, because those little stores that you see in your neighborhood, the corner stores, the gas stations, all those people make a lot of money on us. And that's all I really have today.
All right. Well, good. Good information. You're going to have to come on by yourself one day when you have time. I know you're quite busy, so we'll have you on again, and look forward to doing great things. Okay? Thank you.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay. I just want to thank all our guests that came on. Pastor O, come on. Wrap it up.
Okay. Hey, it was awesome. And as usual, learned a lot today, got really blessed. I got two things. I enjoyed everything and the passion of both of the guests. And then the grandmother, she came in and she gave me what I need to close with. She said, did your best. I think the daughter or somebody came up with, did your best. Caitlin or Sharice, one of them came up with, did your best. The grandmother said, did your best. You know, I had a problem. Well, most of y'all who know me, I had a really severe problem with church attendance. I was horrible at it. I, you know, just couldn't go every Sunday, even though I was a preacher, Sunday school teacher, horrible in church attendance. Had to join the same church 6 times. So I started feeling, I was talking with Reverend Earl M. Brown one day, and he told me that he had been in church 38 years consecutively. I hadn't made 1 year consecutively. And so I felt really bad about about it, because, you know, Jesus is so good, and he, you know, I was so crappy, but he saved me, and I can't go to church, and I'm a preacher and Sunday school teacher. So anyway, the Lord told me, look, you're doing your best. I'm like, but Lord, I had to join the same church 6 times. How is that my best? That's your best. Pastor Brown's best was his best. This is your best. And you just keep doing your best, and you'll get better. And now I go to church every Sunday. Of course, he had to make me a pastor before I did that, but I go to church every Sunday, and now I had to join no more. And what I loved hearing from the one who was talking about, Sharice, talking about the etiquette, how she wanted it to be, and I can tell that Caitlin is definitely faith-based. Okay, you could just, it just screams faith, and I love how she wants to create designs that cover up. To me, cover up is sexy. To me, cover up make me want to see. Cover up make me want to know. cover up, make me want to marry you so I can see. Okay? So I was really glad to hear that, you know, because all those shows she was talking about, Love in Atlanta and all that stuff, they dress like love and hip-hop. It is unbelievable. Okay? But faith-based, and she wanted her etiquette program to be faith-based, and then was willing to do it for free for hopes for the people who couldn't afford it that they'd come out, because she wanted to deliver that service so bad that she's willing to do it for free. You know, they say, how do you know if this is for you and this is something you want to do? Will you do it for free?
Yeah.
Okay, if you'll do it for free, you have a passion for it. And like it was easy to note with Caitlin, she has a passion and a passion to overcome. And I love how she had that support that when times got tough, times got hard, somebody said, keep going. Somebody got behind the back and pushed, and she accepted it and kept going. And now she's past that and can look back and talk to somebody else who's thinking about quitting, and then offer up, was willing to say, I deal with depression, I deal with anxiety, okay, but I'm conquering that. I'm an overcomer through Jesus in that. If you need some help with that, I'm willing to help. I mean, to how many people would say they have problems? We like to believe, make everybody believe we awesome and ain't nothing ever wrong, okay? But to say that, to have conquered that or control over that, and then be willing to teach somebody else that, that is awesome. No greater love has anybody than this, that they would lay down their life, okay, for their brothers or sisters. And so that's some awesome stuff. So do your best, and that's enough. That is enough. I was so glad to hear that, because I remember when Jesus said, hey, you're doing your best. They best is their best. This is your best. And you know, it worked. I got better at it. And then the faith base. You know, if you build everything, if all our, what's that passage you say all the time? In all our ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct our paths. That's a guarantee we have from the Lord. So make it faith-based. Jesus will make it happen. Thank you. Appreciate it. Show was awesome. And my man with the wine, we getting on the trolley, and we're going to have communion for an hour.
That's right.
That's what's happening. That's an afternoon out, you know.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. It is. And that is Mobile Fine Wine. If you want to book it or check it out, go on the website. It's Mobile Fine Wine.
You know, that's not like a Saturday, Sunday afternoon, Friday afternoon or evening. You know, where you just go and hang out. You know what I mean? And do something and have some fun and laugh and make sure you got a designated driver for the ride back to the crib.
Right.
and if you rode a bike, walk home.
Yeah, it's really fun. And you listen to music and you just, you know, really have a good time. Yeah. Okay, so, yes, thanks, everybody, for this day. It was a beautiful day. And I just want to thank Sharice and Caitlin. Jackie, all of them, they're from the Moore family, a beautiful family in southwest Detroit. And as Pastor Bottle used to say, they come from good stock. Very fashionable, good people, good heart inside and out. Just want to thank them. And they're just a wonderful family to know. Mm-hmm. So that's it. It was so good. Caitlin, we're going to be keeping in touch with you. Sharice, we're going to be keeping in touch with you. Like I said, we're going to use everybody that has been on this show to bring back the family and get in the community and help our youth the way they're supposed to be helped so that they can have what they need to make it. Don't you feel good, Caitlin, having what you need to make it, because you can move on, you can go forward, you could, you know, go to the next level and step in life. You know, nobody to hold you back. You did your what they say, you ran your race, finished the course, and now you can move on to the next level. So we want all kids to be able to do that, you know. And so we're going to get in the community and just work it and do something great for our kids so that they can have what they need to make it. Or else, if we don't, we will be victims. We'll be victims of not helping because they need to eat. And if they don't have what they need, if they don't have anything to eat, they're going to come after us. Okay? So,
yes.
So thank you. I appreciate everybody. And, hey, this is it. We went over about almost 30 minutes, but it was some good time. It was a good time.
Thank you for having us.
You are so welcome. I'm going to reach out to the rest of those Moors this week and see if they can come on next week because they're doing great things. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Doing great things. Yes, they have doctors and all kind of professionals going on in that family businesses. And I went to school with Betty, so, hey, I know them well. Okay, so, hey, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to end with a song, I'm Every Woman. Happy Women's History to all the women. God made us special, and we're doing special things, okay? All right. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.